Well, it was one of the most spectacular achievements of world sport this year. On the 5th of December, Black Caps left-arm spinner Ajaz Patel became only the third bowler in history to take all 10 wickets in an innings in a test match.
Oh, is it out this time? He's got the wicket.
Yeah!
Oh! He could be the best batsman. Oh, is it? Oh, it's been given!
Yeah!
That's out. Again, a strong appeal from everyone.
Pitching outside off, impact outside, wicket sitting.
In the air. And it's gone straight to Rachin Ravindra. So the ninth wicket. Oh, that's gone very high. Rachin Ravindra takes it. Such all 10 for Ajaz Patel. What a day for him.
The feat was all the more special as it happened in Mumbai, the city of Ajaz Patel's birth. He is with us now from Auckland. Kia ora, Ajaz. Welcome.
Kia ora. How are you?
Great. I want to know who that person appealing was. Was it you or the keeper that we kept hearing all the way through those 10 wickets?
To be honest, I was thinking about it while I was listening to it myself. There's a lot of shouting there, isn't there?
There's one particularly strong appeal.
Yeah, I think it was a bit of both, to be honest with you, working together.
You said at the time that it would take time to sink in. Now you're back home with the family. Has it yet?
If I'm honest with you, probably not. I mean, for me, obviously, it's a great achievement, but I think I still don't really understand how big. I guess it's one of those things, because it's so hard to kind of comprehend, and so it's one of those, I guess, achievements that you never really even dream of, because you know how hard it is and how difficult it is and how many things actually have to go your way for you to be able to achieve it. I guess sitting here having done it still kind of seems a little bit surreal.
At what point, as you were clocking up all those wickets, did you begin to think about records?
After the ninth, if I'm honest with you. Up until that point, I wasn't really thinking about it too much. Once I got the ninth, I knew I had about four balls left in the over, and I had to try and do something in those four balls because there was a good chance that there might have been a wicket at the other end. So, before that, I think it was really just focused on the game itself and really trying to make sure that I bowled the best ball that I could every time. Also, I was pretty long way into my spell and had bowled a few overs, so when you start kind of fatiguing mentally and physically, you have to really narrow your focus to basically one ball at a time. So that was the most important thing for me, I guess, leading up to it. But then once I got to the ninth wicket, I knew I had about four balls to try and, take all 10. But even then, I didn't really think about the records or the history. I kind of just thought, how cool would it be to take all 10?
Did you realise you'd matched Hadley's 9-4?
At that point, I hadn't, but obviously a lot of the history kind of came in once I got the 10 and realising that Sir Richard had got 9 and also taken the catch in the same game to dismiss the 10th. It was quite humbling to actually come off the field and receive a message from Sir Richard and also from Neil Kumble. Some of those guys, obviously, pretty big names in world cricket, so it was quite humbling.
So when you took the 10th, were you aware that only Jim Laker and Anil Kumble had done this before, or was that something you were told afterwards?
Yeah, that was definitely something I was told afterwards. To be honest with you, I mean, I knew Anil Kumble's 10, but I just assumed that there may have been a few other cricketers. I didn't realise that it was only kind of the two of them. And also, like, for me, I'm not really much of a stats man, so I didn't really think about it too much. I was just more thinking, how cool would it be? I didn't realise it was kind of, so crazy.
So you're down to these last four balls, and you know full well the odds are someone will pick up one at the other end. That's what happened to Hadley. In fact, Hadley took the catch from memory seal the 10th wicket. The 10th wicket for you was a sky-high flyer. What was going through your mind watching the fielder line it up?
I felt sorry for him, to be honest with you, because it's obviously sky high. He's young Rutchin, playing his second game of Test cricket. and there would have been an immense amount of pressure under that catch, knowing full well that it's the 10th wicket and the crowd was going crazy, and it was up there for a long time as well. So, you know, I was just watching it come down, and it kind of swerved on the way down as well. But he took an amazing catch to kind of give me that opportunity to say I've taken 10 wickets. But yeah, we were all pretty nervous while it was in the air. But at the same time, I guess that's cricket. Sometimes it goes your way, sometimes it doesn't. But yeah, it was quite a special moment. And I was kind of somewhat in disbelief. Even now, I guess sometimes I'm a little bit in disbelief that, you know, it's happened.
It's interesting you say that, because that's where cricket is such a great leveller, and it's one of the reasons it's such a wonderful sport. And I think of Martin Crowe's little nick through to the keeper on 299, or the great Don Bradman, who's out in his last test innings and gets left for a low score, might even been a duck, and gets left with an average of 99.
Yeah.
It's a sport that loves to have the last say, but not this time.
And
it's actually the first time that a bowler has taken 10 wickets in a test away from home. Although, ironically, you know, how special that you did it in Mumbai, the city of your birth.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it's one of those things. Like, I mean, when I think about it, it's a crazy script. You know, to go to Mumbai, which I almost see as a home away from home. I've got a lot of family there, and I go and visit there quite often in the winters when I have holidays and stuff. And for me, it was just special playing in Mumbai for the first time. I know I was really looking forward to that test, because it was like, wow, I'm playing in Mumbai. You know, what a journey it's been. It's kind of come full circle back to Mumbai. But I guess no one really imagined for me to kind of do something like that. At the city of my birth, in front of you know, Indian fans, and against India, so that in itself is quite special, I guess, for me, in the way that, you know, the whole journey's kind of gone full circle from leaving India to going back there as an international cricketer and playing for New Zealand. Yeah, it's a crazy, crazy script when you kind of think about it.
It's also, it's not only where you're born, it's where your cricket began. And as with many kids, it was, you know, waiting your turn to maybe get a bat or maybe get a bowl, and running around, you know, being the fielder for the most part. But was that where you fell in love with the game?
Yeah, I think, I mean, in India, the passion for cricket is immense. Like every kind of, you know, building you go to, or any open spaces that you see, or any sports grounds or anything like that. And you'll just see kids playing cricket everywhere. Sometimes they're playing on the road, and as soon as a car comes, they move the wickets, and the car's gone, they put the wickets back out. So, yeah, for me, that's definitely one of the, I mean, I loved playing cricket in India, but I was never able to really follow it passionately or start to grow and take it seriously. It was more just a, you know, a hobby. But I guess when I came to New Zealand, that's where I was allowed to have the structure and a bit more emphasis on focus on sport. And whereas I think India, I was very much pushed towards the education side of things a lot more as well.
This is where you offer such a lesson to young players, because you were 30 before you got the call up to even the New Zealand A side and the Test side at the same time. You'd been 10 years playing first class and knocking on the door. You had plenty of disappointments not making some age group squads. So did you ever give up belief that you would make that dream of black caps, number 274, I think? Did you ever give up that dream, or did you just keep working away?
Yeah, no, I think for me it was really about just continuing to work as hard as possible and leaving no stone unturned. I was very passionate about representing New Zealand and playing for the black caps. So that was the dream that I had in my mind, and that was the one focus. And for me, it was about turning up every day to grow as a player and continue to improve. And I knew that if I kept doing that, the results will take care of themselves. But also, people will have to notice and at some point give me an opportunity. I suppose the hard part was kind of staying very much in the same mould and level once you did get to that stage, because then you kind of put pressure on yourself to perform and make sure that you can stay there. So my whole thing has always been, if I control the process, the outcome will take care of itself. So I'm heavily focused on making sure I put in the hard work and make sure I've done everything that I can do to be ready for whatever's in front of me. And then from there, I just enjoy myself out in the middle and, you know, just focus on the process, and the outcome kind of takes care of itself.
Well, it's very timely because looking forward to the summer months, this is a side, the Black Caps, that typically uses a lot of pace bowlers at home in New Zealand. And despite this incredible result, you might be fighting for your place. But you've got a pretty strong case to bring, I think, haven't you?
Yeah, no, I guess that's my job, is every time I get an opportunity, I try and make sure I make it hard work for the selectors to leave me out for the next one. So I think this is about as good as I can do, to be honest with you.
There's no more wickets left.
but at the same time, I kind of, you know, do appreciate that we have different conditions at home, and our seam bowlers are phenomenal in our home conditions, so sometimes it can be quite difficult to get the ball off them. But in saying that, I still feel like there's ways that I can contribute in New Zealand as well. It's going to be interesting to see how the selectors see it. But regardless of whatever happens, I guess with selection, for me, it's still going to be, you know, focus on the next task at hand, and whether that be international cricket or domestic cricket. We'll just have to wait and see.
Well, this is a side that's won the hearts of Kiwis with its performances over the past couple of years. But it comes at a price. You have a young family at home. It must be great to be home now.
Yeah, it's awesome. I mean, especially this winter, it's been quite long with all the isolations. Like, I mean, I've done three quarantines when I've returned from three different tours this winter. It's over 30 days in a hotel room by yourself. So that can be pretty taxing. But also, I mean, during those days, you're thinking about the time you could be spending with family and friends, and the time that you're missing out with them. So it's been nice to kind of get back home and just really reconnect with my family, my parents, my wife, and especially my young daughter. She's only 9 months now, so it's been kind of cool to spend a few days with her. And you know, she's pretty quirky and full of energy, so I'm thoroughly enjoying that.
Well, she might be a left-arm orthodox in the making, perhaps. We'll see.
It's a lot of hard work. I'm going to try and keep her away from it.
Fair enough. Look, enjoy this family time and a good holiday, I hope, before you're back into it. And thanks very much for talking to us. The next goal now is just going to have to be 20 wickets in a test, isn't it, really, you know?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I won't try for it. I'll just work on my process and see what happens.
Wise words. Thanks very much. Ajaz is with us, Ajaz Patel, over that extraordinary result. 10 wickets in a test just less than 3 weeks ago. Still sinking in, it is.